The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. As usual, we want to just say that if you are a guest or a visitor with us, we're very happy to see you and welcome here. Also, if you're joining us by way of the live stream on our YouTube channel, we welcome you. If you're listening in by way of the Cathedral Audio Podcast, welcome to you as well. Will you be seated for a moment, please? Just a reminder to those who are here with families with younger children, if there's a need to get up and move around a little bit, that's certainly okay and to be expected. There are some items at the back of the church that are there for your use if they're needed. Also, we're pleased to have you all with us as well. Just a couple of notes in terms of notices. First of all, we were saddened this week to hear that the brother of Bishop Matthias, Matthias being the bishop of our companion diocese, his brother Timber was killed on Friday by way of a car accident. And so completely unexpected, and we express our sympathies to Matthias and we pray for him in his time of grief. Just a reminder that this afternoon at 4 o'clock is Choral Evensong, and that's something you may want to make note of. This coming Saturday, there is a webinar being sponsored by the Diocese of Ottawa, and it's going to be some news from the Archbishop of Jerusalem and the Dean of St. George's College in Jerusalem. And what they're going to be reflecting on is the situation of the Christian community in Palestine and Israel. If that's something that you might want to tune in on, it's by way of Zoom. It's necessary to register beforehand. There is some information about it on our website. If you find that you can't find it and you'd like to be pointed to it, please let me know and I'd be happy to do that. So that's on Saturday at 2 o'clock, and it's something that might be of interest to you as we continue to uphold our brothers and sisters in Israel and Palestine. Also, just a reminder that annual reporting is going to be due on the 4th of February, and that our annual meeting is scheduled for the 16th of March. And just as a note, we do have information that's included there in your bulletin about the offering budget for the month of December. And as you'll notice, we came in pretty far short of what we had planned on getting by way of offerings in 2024. We were down about $80,000 below what we had expected to receive. The final amount of our underspending for 2024, of course, remains to be seen. And so that final number of expense versus revenue, we don't have yet, but expect to have it soon, and we'll communicate that to you as soon as we can. But our offering was about 86% of what our planned expenses were for last year. So to the extent that we didn't spend in those areas, we can expect not to be in a deficit position. But there is going to be a deficit. We're pretty sure of that at this point. But as I say, we'll continue to keep you updated on that. The thing about it is that it's going to create a challenge for us in terms of our budget for 2025. So what we budgeted for offerings in 2024 was what we intended to spend. We didn't necessarily spend all of that, but the question that is raising for us now is what are we going to remove in 2025? What is it next year that we can't do that we plan to do this past year? And so, as you can probably imagine, it was a lively discussion at Bishop and Chapter a week or so ago, and that's going to be some hard decisions that we're going to have to make. So, as I say, just to kind of keep you informed as to where we are, and we'll give you as much information about it as we can. Is there anything else that needs announcing? Oh, John had mentioned this morning at 8 that there was an accident in Bedford Basin this past week, and a member of the Canadian Navy was killed. And so we might just remember those who are grieving and those who are affected by that accident. So thanks to John for passing that on to us. Is there anything else? Yes. The ACW is going forward tomorrow with the event that was canceled a week ago. Yes, thank you, Michelle. Very good. And there's information about that in the notices this morning. Thank you. Anything else? We're worshiping today according to the Book of Alternative Services, and it is the Holy Eucharist. We're going to continue with the Glory to God, which you'll find on page 186 or in the hymn book at number 691. In the Book of Alternative Services, page 186. And as we stand, we'll sing.
A reading from the book of Nehemiah. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep," for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The word of the Lord.
Sail to another, and one night he fought. The epistle is written in the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ Jesus. For in the one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker and are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ Jesus, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of Christ.
And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be most acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him, amazed at his gracious words. One Sunday morning in a church not unlike this one, the preacher traveled to the pulpit, as he usually did, and prepared to begin the sermon, as he usually did. Suddenly, a man in the back row rose to his feet and in a loud voice exclaimed, "I have a word from the Lord." Everyone in the church that day, including the preacher, were, to say the least, surprised at the outburst. It was out of order, after all. It was unorthodox. It was out of place in an Anglican church where everything happens always on a schedule. Of course, no one found out that morning whether or not the man did have a word from the Lord, since greeters at the prompt of the presider quickly ushered the man to the back door and out to the street. In churches all over the world, preachers approach their pulpits in the usual way, open up their sermon notes, and prepare to preach. And what is it that we expect to hear? A word from the Lord, perhaps? Most, if not all, of these preaching people would claim to have nothing short of a word of the Lord, since that is why they stand in pulpits. So when they do, what is it that we expect? A sermon? Maybe. A word from the Lord? Surely it was that way for Ezra standing that day in the square. Surely it was that way in Nazareth on the day Jesus stood in the synagogue reading from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Jesus was the hometown boy who had returned. And you'll remember that all that day were amazed at his gracious words. There he was, one of their own, speaking nothing less than a word of the Lord. But if you take a Bible in your hand and read on from where that passage we read as the gospel today ends, you'll find that it wasn't quite so nice after all. Who is this? Isn't this Joseph's son? Jesus goes on to explain how no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. And they try to drive him out. Why? Because prophetic words are seldom words we want to hear. The word of the Lord, we often say. The words Jesus read from Isaiah didn't help those in the synagogue that day feel all warm and fuzzy. As the conversation continued that day in Nazareth, if we read a little further, Luke says, when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage, and they drove him out of town. I'd like to think that I'll be able to at least stick around for coffee today. Anglican worship is very predictable, isn't it? We come to Eucharist expecting to encounter God, to feel the presence of God. The words we say may do as much to keep us from God's presence as they do help us to enter into it. In a certain way, the orderly conduct of Sunday mornings only helps to confirm what we already knew before we got here. Author Annie Dillard famously remarked on the words we use in worship that they are, in fact, and this is a quote, things we have learned we can say to God without being killed. In other words, we come craving the presence of God, but at the same time, we fear it. And that's a problem. A problem because if what we seek is truly a word from the Lord, we need to be able to receive it and not shut it out because it wasn't what we expected. A word from the Lord is news. How often do we find ourselves open to hearing real news? A word of the Lord in worship. It is said that those who leaf through the morning newspaper or watch the evening news do so primarily because it helps them to confirm that the world is still as they thought it was. More upheaval in the Middle East. Ukraine and Russia still at one another's throats. A man stabbed on a Toronto street. Long lineups continue at hospital ERs across the country. Someone drives through the front window of a convenience store in order to raid the automatic banking machine inside. Yep, there you have it. The world has always been disorderly, full of strife, often not a nice place to be. Always has been, always will be. Amen. The world is just as I remember it. But you know, news, real news, doesn't just confirm past understanding. Real news is disturbing, disruptive, demands us a change in the way we were yesterday. Real news demands that I live my life tomorrow in a way different from how I lived it today. A word from the Lord is news, real news, and it demands something of me. It's much easier for me at worship if I don't expect to hear any news. But a word from the Lord is news. Good news. Gospel is good news. And no matter how many times we hear it, there's always something new in it. And that's why it's called news, I guess. Today we mark the second Sunday in the week of prayer for Christian unity. The appointed scripture for today is not by chance. St. Paul describes the miracle of the company of the church, but you know, that's a challenging explanation and a challenging word. If you didn't find yourself challenged by it, go back and read it again. To be at unity one with another is no easy feat. The fellowship of the faithful as the body of Christ. Like a body, the Christian community, a congregation if you like, has many members, a diversity of parts, but functions as a single body. The Christian community. This time of year is also a time when we review and elect our leadership within that body. Those choices, elections, when they happen, are nothing less than a word from the Lord. And they too are challenging because they are a call to serve the larger body with individual gifts. It's an honor to serve the church community in official ways. And with that honor also comes a cost. There's the nature of a word from the Lord, and that nature is a call to serve. Now, if we're not careful, opening ourselves to hear the news, a real word from the Lord, will also bring upon us a demand to be something other than just a bump on a church pew. And as a friend of mine used to say, there, I said it. Well, there, I said it. So, is my coffee in jeopardy yet? In his book, Seeing God in the Ordinary, Australian author and theologian Michael Frost tells about a well-formed and customary churchgoer visiting Sunday evening worship quite unlike what she considered normal. It was in a fairly dimly lit, dusty church hall, and they all sat on fold-up metal chairs. The order of service was somewhat of a mess. A children's play was followed by a ventriloquist cracking jokes and doing magic tricks. Then a soloist with a big stage voice stood and began belting out Bette Midler's From a Distance. The visitor thought that an odd choice of music for Christian worship. God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance. The idea of the song, of course, is that God keeps an eye on the world, but from a safe distance. God wouldn't lower himself, get his hands dirty with worldly concerns and troubles. And over in her mind, she said, "That's not what I believe. That's not Christian faith." And when she couldn't take it any longer, she stood up and began singing the same tune with different words. God has come near to us. God has come near to us. God has come near to us from a distance. And that is, in fact, what those of us who follow Jesus believe about God. As the preacher closes, members of the congregation have any number of thoughts. Nice sermon, some will say. That's fine and dandy, and it's what I've always thought. God is watching us from a distance. No, actually, God has visited us up close. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. If we're open to hear it today, this word will come alive in our life. God draws near to us, and when that happens, there is a word from the Lord. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in the Book of Alternative Services to page 188. And there you will find the words of the Nicene Creed as we stand. Let us confess our faith as we say. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We have heard the word in faith. Let us now respond in prayer for all the world, saying, Lord, hear our prayer. For Christian people around the world, that they may become one as Christ Jesus wills us to be, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who hear and read God's word with faith, that the Spirit may touch their hearts with joy, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all members of the body of Christ Jesus, that we may use the gifts God has given us to build up the kingdom of peace and love, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who prepare for sacraments, the sacraments of marriage, baptism, confirmation, that illumined by the light of Christ Jesus and strengthened by the Spirit, they might know the depth of His grace and love. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For the churches for which we have been asked to pray, for the Anglican Province of Alexandria, Archbishop Sammy Fazi, Primate and Bishop of Egypt, for our ecclesiastical province of Canada, David Edwards, our Bishop and Metropolitan, for the Diocese of Montreal, Bishop Mary Irwin Gibson, for Matthias, Bishop of our Companion Diocese of Ho, and this week, particularly as he's grieving the sudden death of his brother Timber, for our prayer partner Diocese of the Yukon, for this cathedral church, its members and leadership, both ordained and lay. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For the nations of the earth and their leaders, especially those in positions of power who make decisions that affect others, Russia, Ukraine, the Middle East, Haiti, Sudan, Canada, our home and native land, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For ourselves, that we may heed the Spirit's call to help in all suffering or affliction, and to bring the good news of God's love to all. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. The sick and the dying, and those who minister to them, for the deceased, those who mourn them, for all in crises or need, those who have asked us to pray for them. Especially today we pray for Donna, Charles and Jean, Pat, Sue, Skylar, Aaron, Carolyn, Jacob, Stephanie, Neil, Brooklyn, Richard, David and Janice, Dolph, David and Maureen, Heather, Cooper, Jeff, Lorraine, Savannah, Nolan, Kelly, David, Neville, Mike, George, Isaac, Jimmy, Peggy. All those on your heart and mind today. We pray for the members of the Canadian Navy and for the family of the deceased sailor. Let us pray to the Lord. Loving God, we come as your beloved children, presenting our needs and concerns the needs and concerns of our hearts. Listen to our prayers and lead us in your pathways. For we have come to you through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
And we continue with words of confession on page 191. Let us confess our sins before God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Loving God, before the world began, you called us. Make holy all we offer you this day, and strengthen us in that calling. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The words of the Great Thanksgiving, the Eucharistic prayer, is number 3. And you'll find that in the Book of Alternative Services on page 198. Page 198. You're encouraged to remain standing, but if you find you need to be seated or you'd rather kneel, you're certainly welcome to do so.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. By water and the Holy Spirit, you have made us a holy people. In Jesus Christ our Lord, you renew that mystery in bread and wine and nourish us to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the holy people who have served you in every age, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name.
Give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation.
By whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break the bread of life, and that life is the light of the world. God, here among us, light in the midst of us, bring us to light and life. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As we stand, let us pray. Gracious God, our hands have taken holy things, our lives have been nourished by the body of your Son. May we who have eaten at this holy table be strengthened for service in your world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us go forth in peace.